people, we're just finalizing the setup so that we can start. Should we sing National Anthem first or something? Sing National Anthem before we start. How's everyone doing? Are we ready for the webinar today? It's going to be short and sharp today. Today is not a long discussion per se. So it's one of those quick, short and sharp ones. Just have it quickly. But I want to quickly introduce the next few webinars we're going to have. So please pay attention. I hope everybody's logging in. If for any reason you get logged out of Zoom, please move to YouTube. I don't know if I should post that on my page, but I think you will find. You need to post that. Okay. So quick announcements. Sometime next month, early next month, I'm having a webinar on mentoring. It's part of our men's program. However, we're going to allow women to attend that one. So please, because it's on mentoring, we said in the first men's meeting we had that men need mentoring. It's one of the major things every man needs to be better. However, because of how important mentoring is, we're going to allow women to attend that one. Even though I know women always attend our men's meeting anyway, so women, they like that thing so much. So, but this one we're going to do it for both men and women. It's on mentoring. We're going to cover everything that relates to mentoring, how to get a mentor, what a mentor is for, many, many things. So it's going to be powerful. So let's plan towards it. First week in July, we'll let you know the date too. Then I'm going to have one for women alone also. Gonna have one for women alone also, so look forward to that. All right, but that will be next month or thereabout. Today we're talking about situationship. This is my second webinar today. I did one earlier with a church in Washington, Maryland's a very popular church, Jesus House, Baltimore. So I can't remember that, but I know Jesus House anyway. For those of you that are in America, and it was my food, and it was on sex. It was very interesting, at least to me. I enjoyed myself. So this is my second meeting today in quick succession. It wasn't so long ago I finished with that marriage one. So the whole lockdown, I've been busy. I need a vacation. Once this lockdown is over, I'm going on a vacation. I need a vacation badly. I've been so busy this period. But let's do this situationship. So interestingly, many people don't know that situationship is actually a thing. We didn't just coin it out. It's a thing. All right, it's actually a thing. Let me read the scripture, then we'll start. And I know what situationships are. All right, let's start with this scripture, Proverbs chapter 30. If you don't have a Bible, you can listen. If you do have a Bible, then check it out. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. Just for you to know, one of my people I learned relationship from is Solomon. Solomon is a professor emeritus in relationship. He's a professor. He has done studies that even Harvard has not done. Solomon, of course, you know, he dated 1,000 women. So he had 1,000 women in his life. And so that's the greatest survey ever, you know. And so anything he tells you about relationship, you have to take it, you know. So he said, this is what he said here. He says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. Proverbs 30, 18 and 19. He says, three things are wonderful for which I know not. It says, the way of an eagle in the air, that's how an eagle flies. It said, the way of a serpent upon the rock, how a serpent moves without feet and it moves on the rock. It said, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, how something so big and heavy as a ship does not sink and goes on the sea. And he said that one of the other mysteries of life for him, and this was the wisest man to him, he said, the way of a man with a maid. That means the relationship between men and women is just sometimes very complicated, very interesting. Men and women relationship, very interesting, very complicated. And to be honest with you, relationships kind of are getting easier and more complex, you know, at the same time. Relationships are getting easier and more complex at the same time. You know, things are changing rapidly, and I really feel for the young people of today, because they're going to face a lot of things that probably our parents and our own generation did not face. In our parents' generation, things were pretty straightforward. The man works, the woman stays at home. It was pretty straightforward, and relationship then worked a bit easier because the man going to work and providing was already a major input into the relationship. In fact, you know, everybody appreciates the man for working and bringing home, you know, a relationship, bringing home something. And it was seen as him showing love. It was seen as him, you know, providing and all that. So it was a big deal. It was quite a big deal. And then women stayed at home. Women took care of the kids, ran the home. You know, even when the woman had a job, it was not, you know, a job that would be as tasking as that of the man. So it was a job that would give her more time. You know, maybe she ran a small business. Maybe she was a teacher. You know, something that would stress her and also still bring her close to the children. You know, keep her close to the children now. And you see, the interesting thing is that scientists have found out that there are always chemicals being released in our bodies. And they found out that because women naturally have a part of them that nurtures, you know, women have a part of them that nurtures. Even biologically, the way they were created is clear that that women will nurture. I know today a lot of people argue about these things and it confuses a lot of people, but please don't get confused. Always stay close to the master. Stay close to the maker. God doesn't make mistakes. Everything he made is instructive. You know, if you look closely enough, you will see the signs in everything God made. Just that people are arguing so much today with the natural order. They want to make things as unnatural as possible. So be careful of those things, please. I always have to warn, be careful, because it's a trend that flows in every generation. People rise and start contradicting what God says or what the Bible says. Let's be careful about that. So, women naturally have a part of them that nurtures. It's obvious. Like I said, the biology even teaches us that women have a womb and they have breasts. That shows a part of them will nurture. There's no two ways about that. You know, it doesn't make them lesser. It doesn't make them weaker. It just means they're different, which men and women are different. Now, so in the olden days, it was easier. Men did the hard work. Women did the nurturing work. You know, it was just easier. Men are physically stronger, you know, than women, all right? Most, okay? Physically stronger than women. So, in the days of our parents, marriages worked easier because that man going to work and coming back alone, he comes back and he's tired. And the wife was so happy to see him after coming from work. Say, welcome, my husband. Welcome, my dear. What did you bring from the farm? You know, if he's a hunter, what did you bring from the bush? And the man will bring one antelope. And he will be feeling like a hero. That, my dear, just see this antelope. It's around. I just. You know, all kind of love when I was interested, you know, or even this bush rat he got. Or even if he didn't catch anything, he would say, oh, this rat, no rat in the village. The bush. You know, he was looking like a hero for bringing those yams home, you know, and even our parents' days, for him going to work, going through traffic, whatever, bringing it. So the wife was so happy to see him. He was a provider. She was happier. Women those days were happier. You know, because for a few reasons, they discovered that chemically, there are chemicals that flow in a woman's body when she nurtures, all right? Because that's what she ordinarily would like to do. If you see kids, from when kids are young, if you put toys in the room, the girls will naturally, most likely, if nobody interferes, most likely pick things like dolls, things like, you know, home friendly things, you know, they will naturally pick that, and the boys will naturally pick guns and things like that. No interference. That's what they will likely do. All right. I have three kids, and I've been watching them grow, and without even having to teach my son some things, he's just angry when they're watching TV, all the kids and the lady, I have to see two girls and one boy. The boy is the last one. So when they are putting all these things that involve princesses and all that, he's so annoyed, he's so angry. He wants to watch something more physical. Forgotten that his favorite cartoon now that they fight against. But what's that cartoon that you don't like him to watch? There's one cartoon that they fight a lot, and my wife always tries to stop him from watching, but he likes to watch it. Anytime he watches it, he'll start fighting. Because something about fighting. Power Rangers, yes, my son likes Power Rangers. So anything that's not Power Rangers, he doesn't want to watch. Princesses, all those things. Now, then it was like 2-3 years old. You know, nobody, I didn't even know what Power Rangers was, so I couldn't have even told him to not watch Power Rangers. I wasn't interested in either Power Rangers or Princesses. I was too busy, you know. But by himself, at that age, nobody told him to go and watch Power Rangers. I didn't tell him to go and watch Power Rangers. You know, the society has no influence in me. I had no society then. I was really society in this house. like her. So, but he hates when they put princesses. And my daughters also don't necessarily take interest when they put Power Rangers. They wonder what they're fighting about. They would rather watch the stories and all that. So, the point is that naturally the woman will flow, you know, in that area of nurturing. It will come natural to her. So they found out that the chemicals flowing in their bodies, the woman's bodies, were more nurturing, and she gets relaxed. She feels better. She feels in control when she's in that field. All right. So marriages were happier then because the women were doing what they naturally were inclined to do, and the men enjoyed the deadlines, the emergency, the ruggedness, the fighting that they were going, the hustling that they were doing to make ends meet. Then men like that kind of pressure. Interestingly, men enjoy it. Men enjoy that kind of pressure, you know. So they found out that as time was going, and even now to these modern times, of course, women have now started going to work. Okay, women have now started going to work. I'm not trying to tell you scientifically proven. So I'm not, like I said, if you're new here, if you are those people that are used to following me, you know, I tell you that all the things I teach you must be based on three things: scriptural principles, scientific principles, or statistical facts. Okay, I don't just cook up things. Okay, so you don't have to agree, but these are just the where the information is right now, where the facts are. So scientifically, they found out that now women can work. You know, in fact, everyone knows that women can do well as men in any field. You know, whether law, even medicine, even in the army. You know, women are doing everything that men can do today in the secular world. Now, for this, what they discovered, for those that are married and still want to raise a home, run a home, they discovered that when the women go to the work, the women do. Struggle in the traffic, the women do, pursue the deadlines, the targets, and all that the women do, you know, hustle in those meetings, hustle in those marketing like the men do, you know, that the chemicals flowing in their bodies is not a positive one. That's a scientifically proven stuff, all right? That the chemicals flowing in the women are negative chemicals. Now, the men doing that same job, the chemicals flowing in them are the positive chemicals, because these are the jobs the men are open to doing normally. They like the ruggedness, they like the hustle of it. So the men are getting, you know, their own hormones properly stimulated when they do that, because it's actually like affirming them as men. They like that hustle. But except for the women, it's stressing them. He says, now, when they get home, when the women get home, they said, you know, normally that home is supposed to be a stress reliever for them. They're supposed to come to their home that is supposed to be like a safe haven for them. But said, because they have been negatively already stimulated from the workplace, having to hustle with men, when they get home, they still have that continuous flow of negative emotions because they feel they are not in control of their homes. They feel they are not putting things, you know, the way it should be. They feel they've not spent time with their kids. They feel, they've not been able to. They have that feeling of, I'm not doing enough. And to be honest with you, I've noticed some of these things with my wife too. She's always saying, oh man, she wishes she has more time with her kids. She wishes she would do the homework with them herself. You know. So when they were saying these things in the classes I was watching, I was just amazed that, wow, I've actually seen this thing happen. My wife always says that, you know, my wife works with me in the ministry. She's like the main person running every aspect of the ministry. She supervises everything going on. So she's talking with the accounts people, talking with the discipleship team, talking with the video team, talking. So she's doing a lot of those things. And when she's done in the day, she's just saying, I wish I could do the homework with the kids myself. You know, I wish I'm spending enough time with the kids. You know, so they said when the woman gets home, she's still not getting a positive emotion because she's still feeling like she's not doing the things she can do, you know, in the home front. So after that now happens again, you know, she now has to deal with the third thing that gets her off on the negative emotions again, negative chemicals again. She now meets a husband that is not doing anything. Now, so you see how they explained it. Because the women were at home before, the man comes back from work. The women admired the men, saw them as providers. Now, this woman has gone to work like this man. She's providing like this man. And this man gets home after work, and he's tired, expecting them to clap for him for going to work. And the woman is like, both of us went to work. You just came and you sat there watching TV, you're tired. And the man is like, I'm finished today. And she's like, what's wrong with you? We both went to work. We both were in traffic. In fact, my shoulder is more than your own. And you come home and you're done for the day. So her stress level has gone up, it's getting higher instead of lower. She's more frustrated, more annoyed. She doesn't admire him. She doesn't admire him. You see, before, the woman of old will admire that man for just going to work. Even if you bring her small salary home, he has gone to work. He's the hero. But now, this man, what work are you doing that I'm not doing, you see? So by that, she's very dissatisfied. She's very dissatisfied. She's not as happy as she wants to be. Now we both went to work. We both brought money. And see, before then, the man was not required to do anything much in terms of showing love. If he goes to work, he has shown love. But you see, because the woman goes to work with her, with him, she expects more. So if my wife is not happy and I'm going to have to do more than just saying I'm bringing money. That lets some men don't want their wives to work and all that, but they still want to use that to control her. You see, but now she's bringing money like you. You have to do more to fill up her emotional tank. Just bringing money home, it's not enough anymore. I'm just trying to show the complexities of how our lives are moving, okay? I'm not in support of anyone. These are just facts that people have studied and researched and come up with, okay? And they said, we see that the men, that very soon men will start living longer than women. That before, women used to live longer than men. But because women are facing a high level of stress, they are doing the work men are doing in the marketplace, but they are still having to run the homes. I speak to people all over the world, I was speaking to somebody in one of the big countries, and she was saying she can't understand how her husband is not very sensitive, all the work she's doing, and all that. She gets back from work, blah, blah, blah. You see, that's what's going on. She's working with you, but she still sees the need to run her home. So she feels this man is not just doing enough. And the old man, the man is trained only to just work and provide. He doesn't know, he has not been so trained to be involved in the home, which is going to happen these days. We need more men involved in parenting, learning more about how a woman's emotions work, learning more about how to feel a woman's emotional attack. So just going to work is not enough anymore. You have to now learn how to be romantic, how to be caring, how to say the right things, all those things. They also found out that because of all these negative emotions flowing in the woman's body, that even when she's sleeping most times, she's not sleeping. Even when she's lying down physically on the bed, her mind is still running because she feels she's not in control. So these are all researches and studies that have gone on and on. I'm just trying to give you the background that Solomon was saying, man, there are four things that are wonderful for me. And the fourth one was relationships. He said, the way of a man and a woman, that whole relationship thing is getting more and more complex, as much as it's getting easier, it's getting complex. And family therapy is going to be a bigger and bigger and bigger industry as time goes on. So for those of you that feel you have a gift and a flair or a calling to that industry, watch out. Sometime this year or maybe early next year, our certification courses will start. So you can take advantage of that and be trained and be certified. Family life therapist or family life counselor. And it's a really big industry now because marriages are facing the changes in society so much. The changes are so much. All right. So the situation should, let's move forward again. Kind of situation should. So what are situation should? Citizenship is simply that place, from the space, the relationship space in between being friends and actually having a defined, committed relationship. The space in between just friends and being in a committed, defined relationship. It's that middle space. And there are a lot of people there. That means they are in a relationship that they cannot say it's just ordinary friendship anymore. They can't say it's ordinary friendship anymore. At the same time, they can't say, it's a proper relationship. They can't say that anymore. They can't say we are engaged and married. So it's that middle space. So it's very confusing for many people, actually, to be in that situationship level. So a lot of people are there. They're in situationships and they don't know what to do. We're not ordinary friends anymore. We really can't say we're friends, just friends. Things have moved a little beyond that. But we also don't know where we are. We don't know what's going on. And especially in this position are the ones that usually reach me from time to time and say, oh, pray with me, let my boyfriend propose. Pray with me, let my boyfriend. So they're in something they can't really, they're still praying for him to propose. So they're hanging. They don't know where they're going back or going for. And you see, the bad thing about this relationship is that it can be very time-wasting and emotionally consuming. It can be time-consuming and emotionally consuming. So you're wasting your time because in that time you're spending relationship, the guy can come up and say, no, I'm not thinking anything. And you've wasted 2-3 years in that spot. And so other times you're emotionally consumed because you are catching feelings, getting angry, you don't know whether to introduce him as, you don't know what is going on, you are always anxious, you're telling him to pray for you so that he will propose, you know. If he tells you we need to talk, we need to see in your mind, I think his proposal, you get there, you say you need to loan me money. You need to borrow me money. All kinds of things. You know, and that's what you're then you dressed well for the meeting thinking and carry camera, carry phone, thinking his proposal. You know, confusion. It's not a good place to be. And we'll look at other things today and how to come out of situationships if you're in there. So situationships are actually a thing. Even on the general level, just means relationships that are confusing. You know, the basic level, that's what it means. Let's read one scripture. I'll build it from this story. It's a popular story I use in my relationship teaching most times, but I think it is actually a powerful story. It's a story of Amnon and Tamar. It's one of my best relationship stories in the Bible because it carries a lot of meaning and message. I'm going to read this quite some leading. I'll run through it and I'll start teaching from 2 Samuel, you know, chapter 13. 2 Samuel, chapter 13. Okay.
I went 100.
2 Samuel chapter 13 from verse 1. It says, in the course of time, Amnon son of David fell in love with Tamar. Okay? Amnon son of David fell in love with Tamar. He said, the beautiful sister of Absalom, son of David. Said Amnon became so obsessed with his sister Tamar that he made himself ill. He said she was a virgin and it seemed impossible for him to do anything to her. He said now Amnon had an advisor or a friend named Jonadab, son of Shimma, David's brother. Jonadab was a very shrewd man, one might say a very subtle man. He said he asked Amnon, why do you make the king's son? I mean, why do you, the king's son, look so haggard? Morning after morning. I mean, he looked so lean, he was growing lean. Won't you tell me? He said, Amnon said to him, I'm in love with Tamar, my sister. I'm in love with Tamar. Then, verse 5, he said, go to bed and pretend to be ill. Jonadab was now advising him what to do. You know, he said, go to bed, pretend to be ill. When your father comes to see you, say to him, I would like my sister to come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare the food in my sight so I may watch her and then eat it from her hand. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said, I would like my sister Tamar to come and, you know, make me bread and all that. Verse 7, David sent word to Tamar at the palace, say, go to the house of your brother Amnon and prepare some food for him. So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was lying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, and made bread in his sight and baked it. Then she took the pan and served him the bread, but he refused to eat. Send everyone out of here, Amnon said. So everyone left. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food here in my bedroom so I may eat it from your hand. And Tamar took the bread that she had prepared and brought it to her brother Amnon in his bedroom. But when she took it to him, he grabbed her and said, come to bed with me, my sister. You know, no, my brother, she said to him, don't force me. Such a thing should not be done in Israel. I said, don't do this wicked thing. What about me? Where could I get rid of my disgrace? And what about you? You would be like one of the wicked fools in Israel. You know, he said, please speak to the king. He will not keep me from being married to you. In those days, people still married siblings, all right? In those days, it was still because marry your half sister and half brother, things like that, because of the royal family. In some parts of the Middle East, even till now, that still happens. They don't want to marry a far, they want to marry you. All right, long story. Okay, so he said, but he refused, verse 14. He refused to listen to her. And since he was stronger than she, he raped her. And this is interesting because in a culture we're dealing with this, no, raped her. So then Amnon hated her with intense hatred. He said, in fact, he hated her more than he had loved her. Amnon said to her, get up and get out. So he hated her with intense hatred. And so the same guy said he loved her to the point that he was growing lean. He hated her with intense hatred. No, she said to him, sending me away will be greater wrong than what you have already done to me. He said, no, don't send me away. Let's talk about this thing. Let's see how we can get married. Let's see how we can make this permanent. He said, but he refused to listen to her. He called his personal servant, or PA, and said, get this woman out of my sight, and bolted the door after her. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. She was wearing an ornate robe, for this was the kind of garment the virgin daughters of the king wore. Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the honored robe she was wearing. She put her hands on her head and went away weeping about as she went. You know, I want to jump to verse 21. He said, verse 20, her brother Absalom said to her, "Has that Amnon, your brother, been with you? Be quiet for now, my sister. He is your brother. Don't take this thing to heart." He said, and Tamar lived in her brother's Absalom's house, a desolate woman. That's pretty much how she ended her life. A desolate woman. Okay. A few points to run through quickly, as fast as I can. Number one, from verse 1 to 4, you will notice that Amnon said he was in love to the point that he could not even eat, he was groaning. Now, later we found out that was not love. So that's my first point I want to share with you today, is that it's not everything you feel that is love. You don't confuse all your feelings that comes to you as love. A lot of young people make this mistake. They confuse every emotional feeling they have to be love. They just confuse it. And they take actions based on it, only to find out that your feelings desert you so badly. Feelings are so fickle. See what happened to Amnon. The moment he slept with her, the feelings left so badly, they said the hatred he hated her was more than the love that he loved her. Your feelings will betray you. Those of you that have not gone to my YouTube channel, you have not listened to my series titled Emotions on my YouTube channel, please rush and go and listen to it. I did a great work on that emotions, because many people don't really understand their own emotions. You know, I did some work on their emotions on my YouTube channel. If you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel also, I don't know what the one on earth you're waiting for. You know, so your emotions can desert you so badly. Even though emotions can be such a powerful fuel, they are never reliable. They're never reliable. You see, when he was chasing this girl, he thought he would die if he doesn't have her. The moment he slept with her, they said the hatred was more than the love. And to be honest with you, many people have found themselves in places like this. They've chased someone so much, only to find out that they don't really want the person. So the key is that you must understand that it's not everything you feel that is love. You must understand that. It's not everything you feel that is love. And this goes in two ways. Usually men have sexual passion. That's what fuels what they think is love, is sexual passion. For women, it's usually emotional. So it's infatuation most times. Now, both men and women need to manage their emotions. But usually it is a bit different in expression. But they both need to manage their emotions. For men, it's their sexual passion. A lot of men chase, you know, people because they think that, you know, this is love. What is moving them is just sexual passion. I can never forget one day, a brother, you know, had a lady come live in a house, you know, and this lady had shit. You know, the lady was living like a family friend, you know, some kind of family stuff. But they were not related. But she had to come and live in their house. They were not related. You know, so after some weeks of the lady living in their house, he came to us and said, oh, he wants to marry this lady. And you see, as experienced people and relationship people, this was many years ago, we sat him down and asked him some questions. Said, what do you like about this girl? We asked him this because we need the girl's character. She was very violent and, you know, tough and all that, you know. Now, this doesn't mean she was a bad person, but we knew that this wasn't what he really wanted. He was just moved because to get her shit. You know, she was pretty. She had all the, you know, physical assets that confuses men most times. So by the time we had to start asking questions, he found out that he didn't really want a relationship with this girl. So we spared him that drama. You see, the point is that men are like that. They are usually so moved by their sexual passion. They think they really want something. The only thing is that once they get that need met, the emotions will disappear, and that love will disappear too with that emotion. It's not love, it's just lust. All right? Most times, not love. So that's why, if you notice, when God was going to speak in Proverbs 31, he said, talking to the man, he said, beauty is vain, charm is sinful. Because most men, you know, chase a woman because of beauty at the beginning. She's beautiful. I like her shape. I like her figure. I like her complexion. I like her dresses. Things like that. And it's chasing her. But that's not love. He said, in Proverbs 31, he said, but a woman that fears the Lord, she's at the praise. In other words, God was saying, look out for inward qualities. Look out for real character. This goes both men and women, okay? Look out for the character of the person, not just how you are feeling. Feelings are fickle. Feelings disappear. Feelings disappear. Most of the relationships or marriages facing challenges today, the feelings have left, and they are now faced with the reality of the person's personality. It's not feelings that will keep you married. The personality of the person will be there. And that's the most important part. And that's what happened to this kind of case. It's not everything is proved as love. I'll explain, let me even just start explaining this as we go. So men usually their own sexual passion. And you see, these things are not so mysterious. A man has a sort of testosterone, it makes him a bit more aggressive. It's part of what makes his love, his way of expressing love and saying love, more physical. It's just normal. Now, a woman has her own flow of estrogen or estrogen. I don't know what it is, but I'm not a woman, it makes her more interested in a relationship. Okay? It makes her more interested in love and connection. That just doesn't mean she's not interested in sex, but she's not primarily interested in just casual sex. That's not what she wants. In fact, the reason why she would want to have sex is when there's a real relationship. She's more interested in a real emotional connection. Now, this is bad for young people, very, very young people, like teenagers, because when they get this sort of these emotions and this sort of these chemicals playing in their body, for the boys, this is when they move into pornography or masturbation or things like that, because it is the hormones are quite sexual in nature for the guys, so very physical. So this is why they're chasing girls up and down. They're not at that young age, they're not chasing girls to marry girls. And I hope our young girls will learn this as early as possible, because most times by the time they're learning these things, they've already made all the mistakes already. Those young boys, 16, 17, 18, they're not chasing to marry, they're not thinking about marriage already. The testosterone is so high, it's affecting them. In fact, scientifically, they said the testosterone in a man, it's like from when he's a baby, in fact, the same from the womb, it starts flowing, that it does something to them that they say is almost similar to brain damage. That's what the scientists said. It's almost similar to brain damage. That's from the point where a boy and a girl starts being separate or different in the way they do things. It's so intense. So boys enter pornography, masturbation. You see them having a lot of wet dreams, but they're trying to express physically. So they start chasing girls, and like I've said many times, this is part of the design biologically. It's part of why boys like girls in the first place. Because from childhood, when they are both really young, boy and girl don't know the difference. They can both play without clothes. They're not seeing anything. As this hormone starts flowing, this one they can see each other differently. And the chemistry starts, move from biology to chemistry. so it begins to happen. So for the women too, the surge is flowing in them. But what is causing them is the desire for emotional connection. Now, the challenge is this. The women too, now they want love. So at that time, the woman is watching a lot of romantic stuff, reading romantic novels. She's infatuated and moved by the whole idea of love and marriage and romance. The boy on his own side is not thinking romance. He's not thinking love. He can call it love, but he's not thinking love. Just like this Amnon story. He said it was love. That was his own understanding of what he was feeling. But it was not love. It was just sexual passion. Very important. So the boy and the girl are meeting. They are both talking. And there's nothing as bad in this life as when you are obsessed with what you want. You are hearing what the other person is not saying. He is obsessed with what he wants. He's saying what he doesn't mean. So all of you are agreeing to not agree. So they are all talking. The girl is thinking, wow, he loves me. This is beautiful. He's calling me every day. Oh, wow, he loves me. No, he wants to have sex. Sex wants to have. It's not love. At that age, that boy is not interested in anything, marriage or romance or love. He's interested in sex. I'm just using the story, okay? So as they start the whole thing, the boy is trying to get down. The woman is thinking long term, and this leads to a lot of disappointment afterwards, just like this story happened. Once the boy gets what he wants, his passion to chase you starts to reduce. His passion to chase you starts to reduce. I've often shared that men are hunters in nature. Some people confuse that. When I mean hunters, I don't mean it's carrying spear in the bush. Okay? And I don't mean women don't hunt, but Relationally speaking, men are like hunters. So what this means is that usually when they want something, they are willing to go at any length. They are instinctively, they are getting ideas and creating, things. So they are calling you, they are texting you, They know to visit you. They know to buy you gifts. They know to take you out. Nobody needs to tell them that. They are just seeking to get your attention. You see, so women are equating that to mean, oh, this guy really wants me. You need to be clear that at that time he's highly motivated, you know, to do other things. But everybody will, most people will agree that the moment he gets you, either you have agreed to marry him or agreed to date him or you have had sex with him, everybody knows, and this is common knowledge, his passion for chasing you drops. And it's just normal. This doesn't mean it has to drop, but this is just what happens, just like this story. Okay, this is what happens. It's not, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying this is what happens. Because when he's chasing you, then he's doing everything right. The moment he gets what he wants, there's just something in him that loses interest, that he's not just as, you know, passionate about chasing you as he used to. Just like this story. The moment this guy slept with this girl, they said the hatred, wherewith he hated her, was more than the love that he loved her. I mean, it was bad. I hope you listen to the story. Okay, read the story. Men like to hunt. Women like to be hunted. Women like to be hunted. Women enjoy being chased. And that's why even when they marry, she still wants to be chased by you. She still wants to know she's desired. So this is just our normal phenomenon. So the guy, when he's chasing you, he's a hunter. He's doing anything he needs to do. You know, oh, come and see me at this time. Take me out to this place. He's doing everything. You know, once he gets what he wants, not that he's wicked. His chemicals just reduce. The passion just goes. Even sometimes he can't explain what is happening. If you look at the story, I don't think this guy meant to be mean to this girl. He couldn't even explain what was going on in his own life. The moment he slept with that girl, his passion just died. He couldn't explain why he didn't like her anymore. Because men need to understand that your emotional tank is not as big as that of a woman's tank. Your emotional tank is like a keke. How many of you know what keke is? What is keke in English? Tricycle. Is it tricycle?
Yes,
this tricycle that they make in India that carries three or four people, has two tires, one in front, usually yellow in color. You know, in Nigeria, we call it keke. In generally, it's called tricycle. So that's how your tank is. I don't know if that thing stands at even 5 or 6 liters of fuel or something. Very small. Now, a woman's emotional tank is like a trailer. If you've ever been in a filling station in front of a big truck and it's buying fuel, you know you better just bring out your phone and play with your phone because you're going to be there a long time. They will press that thing, oh, the tank is not full. That's how a woman's tank is. It takes long to fill. And when it fills also, it burns for longer. But a man's tank takes his quick to refill, but you're also quick to deplete. So, and when a man's tank depletes, when a man's emotional tank is depleted, every time a man does an emotional thing, either having sex or connecting with you emotionally, spending time with you, talking to you and all that, when he does that, his tank depletes. He has burnt emotional energy. So it burns quickly. Now, when it burns quickly, unfortunately for men, when men want to refill their tank, they need space. Totally opposite for women. When women want to refill their tank, they need companionship. So that's why when a woman is stressed or whatever, she wants to connect with the person she likes. When a man is stressed, he wants to disconnect from everybody. So he wants to do something mindless. He can watch TV or play a game or something like that. He doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to, you know, he has burnt out emotionally. And that's why, you know, premarital sex destroys a lot of relationships. 90% of the ladies complaining to me about their boyfriends, I ask them one question. Have you slept with him? If you have, his motivation has dropped. There's nothing you can do about that. You can do something about it, but usually that has something to do with it. Because his motivation has just died. You know, it's part of what you need to keep. Don't always involve premarital sex before marriage. You know, you keep it aside. Build real intimacy, build real connection. You know, it's part of why there are not many people married in these times, because a lot of the guys are getting all their needs met. All their needs are being met. I mean, and different ladies are meeting, not even one. So one is cooking for him, another one is sleeping with him, another one is sending him money. So five different girls are meeting his needs. Why on earth is he going to marry? Why on earth is he going to marry? If there is no premarital sex, I know for sure a lot more men will marry with her. You'll marry with her. That's just the truth. Because that passion is raging in them. It's a strong motivating factor for men. So once that thing is met, they just lose passion. They can't even explain it. So that's what I mean by men are hunters. You know, in relationship speaking, they like to chase. Once they get what they're chasing, they kind of lose passion. So now, what that means is that they have to, you know, kind of switch gears into, you know, learning now how to nurture a relationship, not just hunting down a relationship, not just chasing a girl. When you get the girl, you have to actually like adjust in what you invest in the relationship to keep it going. But many men are not so taught or learned about that. So they just feel, oh, I'm tired, I'm not as interested. What do I do? They're wrong. You know, it's right. I'm making it when you nag them and you are making them feel they're not doing enough. You know, men run. As opposed to if you complete something, a woman tries to fix it. If you complete a man runs. That's what men usually like to do. You know. So baseline, they have to change gear now, learning that I must know how to love this woman even while, you know, she has never agreed. It happened to me in secondary school, and it happened to a lot of guys. Just the story that this guy shit. It happened to a lot of guys. I can tell you that. You know, so in secondary school there was this girl, I don't know if I've shared this before. There was this girl I was toasting then, you know, and I was enjoying the whole toasting. It was secondary school. I was not born again, okay? We're in secondary school then, and I was toasting the girl, and she was doing hard to get, and to be honest with you, I was enjoying the whole toasting process. You know, I was enjoying going to her class, enjoying going to play with her, enjoying buying her things. I was enjoying the whole hunting process. And one day, lo and behold, one day, she finally agreed. That was the saddest day of my life. She finally said yes, and I was in shock. I was in terror. I was like, why would you do such a thing? You're spoiling the relationship. Why would you do such a thing? Because from that moment, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I mean, the relationship ended later. As in, everything went south from that point. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I could barely talk to her again because all our talk was around the whole chasing her thing. Once it was done, we were done. Once she agreed, the relationship finished. And it happens to love men. All right? So the point is that with everything you feel that is love, men need to manage their own sexuality. In our country today, we're dealing with the issues of rape and all that. It's because of sexuality that is not managed, all right? When sexuality is taking over your thinking and taking over your brain, you know, and you feel you must express, because this guy in this story raped this girl, you know. But you see, women too need to manage their emotions. Like I said, men must manage their sexuality, women need to manage their emotions. Now, this is not saying that men don't have emotional side. This is not saying women don't like sex. That's not what I'm saying, all right? So if you notice in the story, the girl wasn't so, you know, she wasn't so angry about the sexual situation. She was saying, you know, marry me. She was saying, let's make this permanent. You understand? Because she wanted an emotional connection. She wasn't so upset with the sex. She wasn't saying, you know, don't have sex with me or this sex is over. She was saying, hey, let's get married. So women need to also manage their emotions. It's not everybody you should be talking to like that. Some people don't want anything long-term with you. You are wasting your energy trying to talk to a guy about long-term relationships when that's not what he's interested in. Love when I stuck in that area. You're trying to talk to the man about real love when that's not what he's there to do at all. And one of the ways you always know that is to remove sex from your relationship. See if this guy is interested in you as a person. That sex has a way of blinding people and spoiling things, and you don't really know what the guy is after. Once there's no sex in the picture, does he chase you? Does he still want you? Does he enjoy conversation with you when there's no touching? Very important. All right, so guys, manage your sexuality. Girls, manage your emotions. All right, women have put themselves in a lot of tough spots because they can't manage their emotion. You know, if a guy just tells you, oh, I love you, or I want marriage, or I want something, it's a major prank or major trick guys use. They know that if some women, you know, not all, some women don't use their ear to hear marriage. Once you say, I want to marry you, anything you want her to do, she's going to start doing it because she feels she needs to marry by force. You must manage your emotion. Like I said, men trade emotions to get sex. Women trade sex to get emotions. That's really what happens. So the men are forming that I love you because they want to sleep with you. Then the woman is giving up the sex because she expects that the guy will love her. And most times it is in disappointments, okay? So let's both of us need to manage. Just that most men enter trouble because sexuality puts you in trouble publicly. When you impregnate somebody, when you rape somebody like this kiss in that country, when you commit adultery, it puts you in the public light, it's negative. for women's own is usually almost positive because say, oh, this woman loves this guy and the guy supports. So you can't blame her, you know, love is supposed to be a good thing, you know. So but what of you need to manage it if you don't want heartbreak, okay? The story continues. I've talked about the fact that, you know, men are natural hunters. So as a lady, when a guy is chasing you, don't be fooled by the attention. It doesn't yet mean he wants to marry you, okay? Like I said, remove the sex. Let him be interested in you as a person. Don't just equate his pursuit of you to mean he wants something, you know, deeper than just sex. Don't equate the two. If you notice again, the woman, this girl in this story, told the guy, Amnon, that go and talk to my father about me so that he marry me. One of the ways you know a guy is serious is that he follows due process. You see, she was saying, hey, go follow the right process. Sleeping with you is not a big deal, but go follow the right process and talk to our dad about it. Let so that you can marry me officially. You see, ladies, it's important you have these standards, and it's one of the ways you know a guy that is interested in something long term. If he is averse to principles and standards and procedures, that's the best way to know he's not serious. You see, people that are not interested usually don't have patience. It's one of the ways you know. Patience is one of the ways that you screen people that are serious and people that are not serious. Once you say, let's go through the process, let's do premarital counseling, let's talk to the counselor, let's talk to my pastor, let's be friends for a while. Or if you bring any good, right process of relationship, anybody that usually can't wait, anybody that say, let's just do it, you know, it doesn't matter, always can, anybody that's showing sign of impatience, is a proof they are not ready for long term. It's a proof they don't really like you. It's a proof they are not interested in anything long term. They just want quick fix. Because usually, when you want quick fix, you don't have no patience. It's part of the ways you know. You have no patience. You're in a hurry. You know, check any scam. Any scammer. They don't have time for nonsense. They're wasting their time to move on to the next specific. So time is your best friend. Process, procedure is your best friend. When you don't know if somebody is really interested in you, start the process, start the procedure. The guy interested will go the full road. The guy not interested will not go the full road. It's just that simple. All right? Just that simple. Next point. So, talking about procedures, I mentioned, you know, friendship. Those of you that attended the last webinar, if you didn't attend this, it's still on YouTube. And watch it, friendship, courtship, and proper procedure. Good relationships must start with friendship. I've said that over and over again. Let it start with friendship. Friendship helps. Friendship helps you know how the relationship should go. When you are friends with someone, you can know if this should go further or not. And that way, you don't have to harm each other, you know, if you don't think it should go forward. So it's not everybody you see that you must date. There are too many people going about with a dating mindset. So once they see somebody, I mean, they just say, I like this girl, let's have a relationship. I like this boy, let's have a relationship. No, let's just talk. Let's get to know each other. Oh, so people are telling me that, oh, Pastor, God told me that this person is my wife, or Pastor, this man said, God told him, I said, leave what God said. Just be friends first. Because I can't prove what God said told you. I wasn't there when God told you. And you can't use what God told you to control me. So let's leave God aside. What are you saying? Say your own. Leave God. God will tell me when it's time. Leave God out of it first. Tell me your own. You see, let's be friends. There are some things you think God is leading. When you get there and you are friends with the person, you now find out this cannot be God. Because God won't force you to marry somebody you don't like. God won't. There are people like that walking about saying, I don't like this girl. I'm just obeying God. Hey, you're not zombie. Are you zombie? I'm just obeying. I can't even see the woman. My brother, don't annoy me. You are not so villain. God, leave you. Nobody don't like my friend. You know, so sometimes your feeling is God leading you, and everybody that has been left by God knows that once the white people hear what God is saying. If you think about something, you dream about the guest, I dream about the guest, I what time you were. My brother, it's a lockdown, it's coming. It's not any good. So, yes, you feel you have left, of course, that is there, but God be friends. When you're friends, you will know that this person is not the person. Right in friendship, you can tell if the connection is going to be there strongly or not. So, friends, enjoy friendship. Enjoy friendship. If you can't really be great friends, you can't make it further. And somebody saying, but how do I know somebody's my good friend? Simple. Do you enjoy each other's company? Can you, without sex, can you guys talk? Do you guys like to talk? Do you feel easy to be open with this person? Does this person also feel easy to be open with you? You know, just like when you have a normal friend. How is it flowing? How is it flowing? You know, enjoy that friendship. Okay. So processes are important. Processes are important. And I've told the ladies over and over and over again, before you take a relationship to the next level, I have the book titled 7 Questions Wise Women Ask. There are 7 questions you must ask. I've just told one over again. If a guy, after being friends for a while, wants to take it to the next level, you know, it's important to define it. Don't let him just confuse you. You know, I just want us to be something very serious and close and intimate and in a very special way. That means nothing. You're right. If you have friends, enjoy the friendship for a while. If he wants to have a relationship, let him know what kind of issues he's looking after. You are a mature lady. You know, you're not the stage of life where it doesn't mean relationships that have no definition. What does he really want out of a relationship? Say he wants to lead to marriage. Say, like, when? Like, when are you looking at to get married? When are you looking at to settle down? Listen, girls, your principles and standards don't drive away the wrong people. It doesn't drive away the right person. It always drives away the wrong people. Standards don't drive away the right person. Standards don't drive away the right person. I shared a story in one of my YouTube videos that I just shot. And I shared about how I build cars. You know, I love cars. I'm a car enthusiast, so I build cars. I buy some cars and just build them. The kind of car I use now, I build it. You know, put a normal F-150 truck and I put big tires, put bumpers, and build it. You know, so I also built one I wanted to sell because I loved the car. I just wanted to sell it. Yeah, I built it to sell it. So somebody said they wanted to see the car. My guy should bring the car to him. And one of my friends that's a car dealer told me, he said, don't do it. So don't take your car to people that want to buy it. If anybody that really wants to buy your car, that has seen the picture and is really interested, they'll be okay with coming to see them. You see, I never knew that. You know, I'm not an express car dealer, I just like cars. But he's an express car dealer. I said, don't take your car to people that want to buy it. See, two things will happen when you take your car to everybody that wants to see it. You see, because most people think if I lower my standards, if I'm too nice, anybody just say, come and see me, just carry your load back, come back. You have got to be able to see him. So, because, see, you are selling, I'm whispering this now to the ladies, you know, you are selling yourself cheap when you do that. You're already giving the guy the precedent to disrespect you and not value. So that my friend told me, don't take your car to anybody else. Anybody that really wants to see it will be willing to come and see it where it is parked. You don't see Rolls Royce. You call Rolls Royce, say, Rolls Royce, I saw one car. You have it, yeah, bring, let me see. You see Rolls Royce doing that. Don't do that. Come and see it. Yeah, I just said, oh, you want to buy that? Come. So the guy told me not to sell it. He said, when you take your car to see people, say, two things will happen. So number one, they will start. The price never remains the same once you're the one that brought it to see them. I never thought of that, but that was true. Everybody would take the car to see. They will price anything they like. You see, if the car was 40 million naira, for instance, and you brought it to come and see him to show him in his power, they would say, let me give you 9 million. You see, if he's one that came to your store, came to the showroom, I see other cars parked, I see how everybody's dressed there. Even if he was flying to come and see nonsense price, as he entered there, one spirit will listen to him, don't disgrace yourself. Don't disgrace yourself. You know, he said, if you take it to them, the price won't remain the same. The price is answer number two. You know, the car won't return the same wear and tear because it's traveling on the road and back. And it's powerful. I didn't know this. And that's the same thing applies to relationship. When you're, anybody else want to see you, hey, I saw your picture with my friend. Come, let me see you. And you carry your bag and be going. I just got your number on the ground. I passed it, I saw your number on the ground. I thought you'd call you. And you're just talking. You're already laying a precedent for the guys not to respect. Human beings are like, you see, human beings are interesting. And part of my job involves studying human psychology. Human beings are interesting. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, for a rich man, every bitter thing is sweet. For a rich man. He said, for a rich man, the rich man hates honey. That's what I said. Sorry. Say, the guy says, in the Bible, a rich man hates honey. He said, but to the poor man, even bitter things are sweet. They're saying, if somebody is rich, he has so much. Even honey that is meant to be sweet, will be that. We won't see value in it. He said, but the poor man that doesn't have, every bitter thing is sweet. No, but just saying, look, you can't be too available. It doesn't have your value. He said, the Bible says, don't stay in your neighbor's house too long. Go to your own house. Say, if you stay too long, it will start to disrespect you. You don't go and visit and be staying, see, they come and telling you, don't you have anywhere to go? It's getting late. I don't want you to be stuck outside. I don't want to finish your credit after you have spoken to him. You have stayed too long. Important to, you know, criticize your presence, like they say. Be discussed. It helps your value. Don't just, you see, some people think that by chasing, by being too available, make people love me. No. No. Giving too much of a step doesn't help people love you. It helps people get familiar with you. and eventually disrespect you. We always respect what we don't see regularly. So manage your presence. That's why I love story. I don't know if it's helping any person. So what was I saying? So follow process, all right? Follow process. Okay, follow process. Next point here is that I've said emotions live quickly. You can't trust your emotions. Follow principles. Okay, don't trust your emotions. Follow principles. Verse 19 to 20 in that story said that woman dwelt in her brother's house, Tamar, as a desolate woman. You must be careful not to allow your past incidences, past experiences affect you. Everybody has baggages. Everything you are going through, that's why you're not going to jump into the relationship for fun. Everything you are going through affects you. And if you're not careful, you would carry baggages. Everybody's bringing baggage to their marriage. So you must be careful to unpack. Don't carry all these baggages. Try to go through a healing process. And I'll speak again a bit particularly to the women here. Women, the reason is one of the things you need to know about how your brain works is that your brain is like spaghetti, the man's brain is like rice. I mean, the man's brain is one usually. So men are good with isolating issues. If a man is dealing with that one issue, he's dealing with just that one issue. But women, your brain is like spaghetti. That means you don't know where it starts, where it ends. They're all connected. So sometimes the woman is reacting today, not based on what's just going on today. She's factoring all the things you've done over the course of the relationship when she's talking to you. So your mind's working like that. It doesn't mean you're bad or good. It's just how you are wired most times. So if you're not careful, you'll be punishing your next for the crimes of your ex. If you're not careful, you'll be bringing your past to play into your future. If you're not careful, there are many hurt and offended women. The reason is because they've actually been through a lot. They've seen a lot of hardship, a lot of bad things from all kinds of men. But then they're punishing innocent people because of it. They're punishing innocent people. So be careful not to carry those bitterness and anger. Be quick to forgive and process, deal with what you have faced, and don't mix it up with the new person you're meeting. All right, very important. Heal so that you can move forward. Don't stay stuck on the bad thing that happened, on the breakup that happened. Don't stay stuck with it. It will hinder you in the future. All right. So I've mentioned that a man's emotional tank gets filled quickly, it also depletes quickly. A woman's emotional tank gets filled slowly, it also depletes slowly. Okay, so when you move into a proper relationship, be deliberate about filling each other's tank and be okay with giving space. So if you're dating a guy, for instance, he might not be calling you every day. All right, some men are great with it, don't get me wrong. Some men are great, but most men, they don't see the need to emotionally connect every day. So be okay with that. Don't stress it. Or have a systematic way that you guys keep in touch. Okay, I'm not saying you should stay 1 week without talking to you or 3 days without talking to you. I'm not saying, but I'm saying, don't sweat it so much in terms of, oh, you must talk to me every day. It doesn't work like that. If you're a guy, you understand that women need connection. So you talk to her every day. Okay? I'm just advising them what they need. So you have to point to her every day. She needs connection. She gets her tank filled by connection. You get your tank filled by space. So do it. Now, in closing, and I'll take some questions. Try to define relationships. I mentioned the 7 questions that men ask. One of it is when. Second thing is, who are your mentors? Who are people of your influences, people that speak about your life. In this story, this guy had a friend, and that friend was the one that put him in trouble. The friend gave him bad advice. You need to always look around your friends. What I made of me, check around your friends. Make a list of 5 people you speak to regularly. If you don't like, the direction your life is going, check these 5 people. They usually have a part of you. If you want to change the direction of your life, all you need to do is to change the 5 people in your life. Change the people you talk to constantly. Some of you have friends that are giving you bad advice back to back to back. Very careful about that. You have friends that their lifestyle is not something you're proud about, but they are still your close friends. But they're speaking into your life. You have friends that you are living in sin and they're encouraging it. They're your partners in crime. That's not good friendship, okay? So define relationships. Where are we going with this? Or you want to be friends? Let's be friends till we want to cross the line. So don't cross the line without it being defined. Sometimes you're just talking, you don't want to bring it up. You feel, women usually feel if I ask him to define where we're going, I would appear desperate. No, you would not appear desperate. Stop thinking like that. Stop thinking that speaking up in a relationship makes you appear desperate. It makes you sick. The option of, the opposite of this, you're appearing desperate, is to be used. And which most men choose? They would rather just keep quiet, pretend everything is fine, and the guy said, I didn't tell you anything. And she'll now be hurt, she'll now be angry, she'll now take it out on other guys. It's your life. Nobody takes a job without asking how much I'll be paid. Say, start working, say thank you. Say, when will you start today? Say thank you, sir. And you ask how much I pay? After the month, the guy gave me 2 naira. Oh, he said. And this is what happens. A lot of people know. In the relationship, well, ask them, oh, what's your plan? I want to get my letter that will show my JD and also my pay. You know, but I'm just trying, you know, I like it. Just trying. No. So speak up. If you make you desperate, speak up. So where are we going with this? Any man that really likes you will be glad. In fact, let me even go into that because I'm about to close. How to know if you're in a situationship? How to know if you're in a situationship? Number one, is that there will be no clear future plans. No clear future plans. How to know you're in a situationship? Number one, no clear future plans. Any guy that is really interested and serious will be okay with sharing the future plans. No matter what it is, oh, this is what I want. See, anyone that really wants will not be scared when you ask him, what do you want? He will not see you as desperate. He will actually see you as a smart girl. But you keep being quiet. You are thinking you want to deceive him. At the end of the day, you are playing yourself. You are deceiving yourself. You want to keep quiet so that you know you appear that you are okay with him messing you up. Are you okay with it? Don't pretend to be okay with something you're not okay with. Don't pretend you're okay with something you're not okay with. Too many ladies are in situationships. You are in things you can't. You don't know what it is. Like when they ask you, what is going on? What is this boy? Even you don't know what to call him. You don't know what to define it as. If you are not, you know, you won't appear desperate by saying what you really want. Just say what you want. Oh, this is what I want. Or ask him what he wants. That, oh, good, you're calling me quite often. You're using endearments. I love you. You know, I miss you. Kisses. All these things. All these emojis that are confusing my sister. At some point, you know, before it goes too far, ask him what does he want with this relationship. Don't let him tell you, let's just continue and see where it goes. That's not a serious person. A serious person really knows what he wants. Especially when you guys have been friends for a while, okay? And he wants something more. All right, so no clear future plans. No clear future plans. That's situationship. Second sign you're in a situationship is the conversations are shallow and mainly around sex. Shallow conversations. So you guys are talking a lot, but you're not talking about real intimate things. It's usually sexual tactics. Send me your picture. What are you wearing? No, I'm wearing masculine clothes. What's masculine? Masculine costume. What are you wearing? That's what they're asking. Where are you? And they're doing sexy. What are you wearing? My brother, are you laundry? Move out of here, my brother. The point is shallow conversations. He's not really talking to you about his plans for his whole life. He's not talking to you about his father. They're just not getting to know each other intimately. You will know. See, like I told you, patience is the best way to know a scammer. A scammer doesn't have patience for nonsense. He doesn't. Because he knows what he's looking for. He has no patience for rubbish. But the real person that's interested, he wants to hear you out. Wants to hear the real things that bother you. Wants to hear about your family. Wants to hear about your plans. Wants to hear about your past. Wants to hear. He's really listening. And you two are really listening. Real intimate conversations. Deep ones that are going on. Not shallow conversations. You know, that just ending you sending news. That's where it ends. Send picture. Number three. I'll stop here because I can't do all of them. Number three. You know, one of the ways you know your relationship is that your friendship doesn't really go far. In terms of that, you don't meet each other's friends or family, close friends or family. You just find out he's not interested in showing you up or introducing you to people. He's just keeping you at that me and you alone level. Finally, I just want to leave it there. So it's only you that knows him. Most people don't know him. In fact, I even hear this is the people that block other people on their profile and put this girl for her birthday. So only her can see it. But every that there's no stage can see it because I mean all kinds of things are going on. You know? All kinds of things are going on. You know, so I hear the bad. They will not call every other person to see this girl. Put the girl, she will think she's the only one. Yeah, well, after you finish, you block it up, put the next girl. You know, some boys are bad. You know, some boys are bad. So, but you need to protect yourself, really. And boys need to manage your sexuality so that you start thinking deeper and thinking more seriously. You know, everything's not about sex. Okay? So, you know, so that you don't meet important people in his life, you don't meet his family, you don't meet his pastors or his bosses or real relationships in his life that he respects, you see. A guy that's not planning long term, he will not take into relationships that he respects. You know, keeps you aside. Just those kind of things. All right, so those are a few things. And how do I leave the situationship REM. How do I break out? If I'm ready in situationship, how do I leave? Very simple. Have a serious conversation. That's just it. Look for a time and a place where you can have a serious conversation. So if it's by phone, well, if you're not going to make sure it's a well-scheduled call. So I can't say I have a meeting. And when you're already there, it's physically there. Say, hey, what are we doing really? You know, share what you think you need. Say, hey, I'm so-and-so age. I'm not really looking at playing around. I'm looking at settling down. And I really like you. I really connect with you. But at the same time, I don't want to force you to something you don't want to do. So I just want to know what you think and what you want out of this so that I can know what we're doing. And you must be ready for a yes or no answer. Don't be thinking that, oh, you must agree. Because generally, the guy might not want anything serious. Or generally, the girl might not want anything serious. So once they tell you if it's positive, then you guys have concrete plans from now. Also, we're in a proper relationship leading to marriage. What's the plan? When are we getting married? And we need to start putting the right procedures in place. Now, if the guy says he doesn't want, like I've told you many times, when people break up with you, that's not the place and the time to remove your wig and start crying, you know, and all that. No, that's not the place and time. Thank them very much. Do a serious face. So thank you. God bless you for being honest. I appreciate it. You didn't waste my time. Thank you very much. You know, collect all your property you can collect. Give my charger. All those things. Collect it. Then you go immediately. If you stay there long, you'll cry. But you say, hey, I'm so bad. But we, yes, John, you didn't do those things. Those are the things. People that don't like you, right? If you're crying, you're even making yourself look more annoying. That one, no. Your begging will not help them. It's making you look more annoying. If I to remind them why they shouldn't have married you. What people don't realize is that, you know, scarcity helps relationships more than availability. You need to know that. You need to know that. Real people that have value, you see, Rolls Royce doesn't come and park their car in front of your house. That's not how they sell it to you. They sell it to you by telling you how rare it is, not by how common. So don't go there and start begging and all that. Carry yourself in one piece, your things in one piece. Go to your friend's house, move your wig there and cry. Cry. They'll give you glucose and boost and other things to help you. Ice cream and everything. It affects you very well. If you can sleep there at night, your friends are sleeping there so that you won't drink bad drink. And they can pet you throughout the night. But you still cry at night. They can pet you very well. So don't do drama in front of the person. Okay. Have you been blessed? Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy this relationship? Okay, I'll take a few questions. I don't know how long I spoke. About an hour. Well, it's fine. I'll take a few questions before we go. Before we take questions, please don't forget, we've officially started receiving partners for Love and Marriage. For us in Love and Marriage, we see it as a vision and a ministry to reach families. It's about families for us. We believe that if families are well built, society will be well built. All right. So every rapist, every Amrabah, every prostitute comes from a family. So if the family is doing well, it will affect the society. So if you're interested in being a partner for LDM, that means you love what we do, you love how we help families. It's not just for singles, married, children, parents, everything regarding family. You know, it's basically our focus, and it's going to be my focus for the next couple of years. So if you really believe in it, you know, it's not a church, it's a ministry. So if you believe in it and you really want to support, you want to be part of it, please send us a mail, send us a message. You know, there are many ways to be a part of it. There are people that give monthly. There are people that give one-off gifts. You know, people have been supportive. I want to appreciate those of you that are already partners or you are supporting us in any way. God bless you. I really appreciate you. I don't want making things happen. So if you're out there, you want to be a partner of LDM, you love what we do, you believe, you sense in your heart that this is something you want to invest in. You know, this is something you feel God is doing for the now, you know. Oh, this lockdown taught me a lot. Everything else was locked down except families. Churches were locked down. Business were locked down. Airports were locked down, but families were not locked down. And then the families matter. So we want to invest in families. So if you believe this is something you make sense to you, connect with it, and you want to be a partner, either on a monthly basis, a yearly basis, or just supporting us you are led, please send us a message or go to our website and fill out the forms. Want to welcome you to our partnership program. So please, be a partner who supports what we do. Once the lockdown is over and everything, we'll start our tours again. We usually travel around the world to host conferences and all that. So once the lockdown is over, we'll start that again. So for right now, we're doing stuff online and all that. So please, if you need partners, need to join, we'll be honored to have you in the partnership. All right, let's do some questions.
Okay. Can you be in a relationship for more than 7 years and still get married and have a healthy marriage? That's one. Let's have a second question.
Wait, first, we'll ask those questions. And then also we have loads of our materials. I want to encourage everybody to get them. Books, audios, masterclasses, courses. They're all on our website, ldmwithpk.org. If you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please go subscribe. And loads of materials are available on YouTube. We have loads of materials, basically. And we can deliver anywhere. You have both e-copies and hard copies. So and those of you abroad, you can use Amazon if you don't want to do from our website. But please get materials. Invest in your own happiness. Invest in your marriage. Very, very, very important. All right? Yeah, audios and videos. Yes. Now, the question says, can you be in a relationship for 7 years?
For more than 7 years.
Yes, I'm still married. Anything is possible, really. If you're in a relationship for 20 years, I'm still married. However, what happens most times in these kind of cases is that the one or two people that it works for shares their story, but the remaining 98% that wasted their lives, you know, it's not something good, so if you don't share it, it's cancerous and I hear it. You know, people tell me, I just met somebody online, met somebody on a dating site. Yes, the dating site and the couple that met online without knowing anything or anybody, they will advertise that one. They will share their testimony. Everybody say, ah, this true love works. I know you must meet one day, marry one day, it works. They won't tell you the other 98% of the people that they kill themselves, that they shot each other, that they're having serious problems. It's cancerous that sit down. So waiting for 7 years in an undefined relationship or whatever, or being cutting, it's not so healthy, it's not so advisable. All right, statistically, from those of us that are on the field, it doesn't usually work out well. Now, it doesn't mean all of them have it, so there are few that still work out well, and it can. So it depends on the peculiarity of your own case. But I need more details than just what you're doing. Well, I don't advise this in the relationship for 7 years. 7 years, somebody has become a PhD holder. 7 years. Somebody has become master's degree for 7 years. You know, you're just in the show. Yeah. What's the second question?
Supposing I have been dating a guy and the relationship is like on and off, meaning we break up and we get back together, not once, not twice, not thrice. Does it mean that we are destined to be together or we are just with each other's time? Yeah. Bearing in mind that both parties profess undying love for each other.
You're just wasting each other's time. Oh. Mm-hmm. That off and on thing is already a red flag. So you guys are coming back together based on resilience, not because you really want each other. Whatever is making you go off and on is still present. So when you marry, it's become more complicated because you still live off and on in marriage. And now kids will come. So it's going to get more complicated. So either you get counseling or left to me, that off and on thing is really a red flag from the little I know, okay?
Is it good for a guy to be the more emotional one?
Depends on what you mean by emotional. Men and women have emotions, okay? But just depends on how it is expressed. And men are usually not emotional in their relationships. Men are emotional about football, emotional about cars, emotional about money. They are not just so emotionally wrong when it comes to relationship. So when we say men are emotional, men are logical, that's what we're trying to say. It's not that men don't have emotions or women don't have logic. But I suppose that men have a system, they just have to say, are you saying men don't have it? Come on. Because right, men and women have logic, men and women have emotions. But we're saying, relationally speaking, right, women are seeking emotional connection. But men try to now look at the relationship from a logical point of view and look at everything they do from a logical point of view. Okay, so the question is it better for you? It doesn't follow. Anybody can remember emotions as long as they're keeping the principles of relationship, which is care, love, understanding, you know, all those things that make relationships work. As long as they're keeping it, it doesn't matter who is more emotional. Both of them need to start putting emotions at some point in the relationship, all right? When I consider naturally or not. All right.
So thank you for this. I have a mentor, and ever since I submitted to him, he has never allowed me to go into a relationship.
Yes.
God told me he is my husband, and I just want God to perfect it himself. I have a guy asking me out now. He asked me not to accept. What do you think, sir? I'm confused. Should I disobey him or accept this guy?
My sister, you're confused too. As in, your mentor is the person God told you that is your husband. I think that there's a lot going on in that story. A lot is going on. You need to define what you're doing. I talked about managing your emotions. You need to manage your emotions. You need to get a female mentor. All right, somebody like you needs to get a female mentor. You're already in a mess, sorry. You're already in a big mess, sorry. You know, so get a female mentor before you harm yourself. Because where this is going now is that if this guy doesn't marry you, you come out with, you know, how he wasted your time or he molested you or something like that. Go and get a female mentor and get clarity now and detach yourself. What you're looking for is not a mentor, you're looking for your husband. You're confusing issues. All right, so there's already a lot of wrong things going on there.
Is it okay to be in a relationship without quarrel? I am in a committed relationship for almost a year now. We have ongoing marriage plans and everything seems perfect. But we don't quarrel. We just have small arguments and settle, but no serious quarrel that will make us lost to talk. So it's normal.
Okay, it depends really. I don't have enough information to really process that for you. Most specialists say that if your relationship is without quarrels, you guys are faking it or you're not really seeing reality, right? Most experts say that. Now, in my own house, to me, I'm right from quarrel. But like you said, it doesn't mean we don't have disagreements. Once something's when I don't agree, it happens. But we don't, it doesn't need to be a quarrel. The quarrel is kind of different from disagreements. Agreement is that we don't agree on something. Quarrel is when it's heated, it's abusive, it's assaultive, it's families, we don't do that in my house. So it depends on which one is really playing out right now in your relationship. What I would advise you to do, let's get proper premarital counseling. You know, let the third eye examine what's going on in that relationship. From here, it's difficult for me to really give you the best advice because I don't have enough details to know if you guys are in that euphoric stage where you're both just blinded to reality and just saying, I love you, I love you, I miss you, I miss you. You're drunk, you're up. It's not realistic. You know, so I don't know if that's what's going on or whether it's real maturity and understanding that's going on. So I need more details. So get good premarital counseling. That's one thing. Don't ever think your love is so strong that you won't need counseling. Love, make that mistake. We just love each other. That's all. We don't think we need it. And it's after the marriage when emotions have dropped. That's when the emotions really peak. When they've dropped, reality sets in. And that's why that, oh, I didn't see this. So please, as a standard, premarital counseling is important. Like I mentioned, process, follow due process. One of the major processes is premarital counseling. Talk to someone that's experienced a marriage that can give you good counsel. All right.
Okay, a question from YouTube. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on parents deciding who a person gets married to?
Okay, parents shouldn't decide who you get married to. For you to be in that situation, it means you're not yet mature. When you're mature, one of the things that qualifies you to marry is that you can leave your father and your mother. Genesis chapter 2, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. It didn't say a boy, it didn't say a girl. It said a man and a wife. So you must be mature, able to leave your father and your mother. It doesn't mean abandon them, it means you're able to survive without them, you're able to separate from them. If you're still attached to your parents and thinking who to marry, then you also pick how you will sleep with your wife and how you tell your husband and what you will cook. You know, so the function is very wrong. You have to pick, you know, who you marry yourself because you're the one that will live in that marriage, right? Your parents can't pick who you marry for you. Right.
Okay, another question from you too. What happens after 10 years and children but no commitment of marriage?
Wow. Yeah, people are doing that today because people dread the commitment of marriage, like I told you. So I don't know how you got this far. And if you want marriage, then discuss it. Stop talking about it. But I can't do anything. Already 10 years and many children. Really. But you shouldn't have gone that far. Where are your parents? Where are your pastors? Where are your mentors? That's what you need. You need somebody speaking to your life other than this person you are dating. All right? Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to marry someone you don't love?
Why would you want to do that? That's the question. You have to first understand what love is first. Then second question, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to marry somebody you don't love? Why do you? That means you're under pressure. You want to marry for the wrong reason. So it's the wrong thing. Don't bother yourself with such a thing. You don't love this. No need. And I'm sure very soon you start telling the person you don't love anymore. Yeah. What is it? Yeah. So for someone like you to get my book, 25 Wrong Reasons People Enter Relationships. I said in that book, if you marry for the wrong reason, you're most likely marrying the wrong person. All right, please get my material, get my books. I'm not saying it because I'm trying to sell books, I'm saying it because they are a wealth of knowledge. I've gathered a lot of thoughts in those books to help you. So that's what I'm trying to push you to get that books. So, yeah.
I'm 26 currently. Oh. I have been single my whole life, and I've never been able to connect with a woman more emotionally.
Yes.
I get more and more difficult to talk with them because of this.
Yes.
What do I do to solve this problem?
Just enjoy friendship. You know, don't be in relationship mode. Don't be so stuck up on relationship. Enjoy friendship. As you are being more friends with ladies and learning, understanding them, you'll find someone you will connect with. Just give it time. You see, the pressure we face is that we all want to be dating from 20, want to be dating different people till you reach 30 and find one to marry. You don't have to go through all that rubbish. You can wait till you're ready and meet one person and marry that one person. My wife was the first person I dated as a Christian. My wife was the first person I dated. In fact, not even as a Christian, to choose that all my life, real relationship with my wife was a person. you know, that I had a relationship with. The rest, you know, either they were dating themselves or I was dating myself. Whatever relationship. The one that happened to me in primary, in secondary school, junior secondary school, I thought I was dating this girl. You know, in secondary school, they will use people's two names to form something. You know, your first name and your surname, and you call it films, all those things, Felix Igushola and Lima or something. They were talking to, you know, films. They did all those things for us. I thought we were in a relationship until, you know, one day she entered a relationship with somebody else. And, you know, I thought we had broken up. You know, it pained me. I've never been that pained before in my life. You know, when you're broken up, all love songs look like they're singing about you. It should have been love, but it's over now. All the stuff like the Holy Ghost. Until I was speaking to the girl later in life when we met after secondary school, many years after. I was telling her how that we broke up. And she was like, she can't remember me. We even dated. I thought. So I found out I was dating myself. I was very angry again. And I went to look for the love song. It was painful. So I forgot what the question was. What's the question? I was answering now. What's the question? I forgot. But you know what I'm saying, Shaq? You know, you don't have to date many people to find the right one. Just wait. It can be a task to find the right one. I married around that age. And I'm out for specific and I dated officially. I didn't have any relationship for them. I know it's in the world or not. I had sexual relationships. I had sexual encounters when I was not born again. But I didn't date anybody as in a relationship. No. My wife was the first person I dated all my life in America. So don't just confuse the fact that you must have plenty of people coming in and out of your life before you think you are doing something. Yeah.
Okay, I have been friends with a girl for 4 years now. I declared my interest for a relationship early this year, but it's taking her a whole year to give me an answer. What should I do?
You've been friends for 4 years.
I declared my interest for a relationship early this year.
Yeah.
But it's taking her a whole year.
My brother. Tell me, are you? She's not feeling you. And if she goes ahead to marry you, she will still be pitying you and be looking at you like, you know, this is just what she had to manage. Women are not usually that indecisive as regards marriage. Woman usually knows before you even come that you're going to come and she has made up her mind about what she's going to do. Women are very interesting, they're very smart. You know, especially when it comes to marriage matter, they've decided who and who they can ever marry or not. So if she's taking so long to decide, it's a bad sign. You can convince her and pressure her. Maybe if she waits and she doesn't, she's willing to wait to see if she'll get a better offer. You know, so maybe if she doesn't see a better offer, she'll now agree. Just that I don't know whether she'll really be excited about you. I've seen these things happen before and she'll just be managing you. You will notice you're not, she's not excited about you. Yeah. So.
My boyfriend and I have been dating for about a year now and we have only gone out once.
Yeah.
So he makes the relationship strong by not hanging out.
Okay. Boys can tell all kinds of lies. My question would be, are you sleeping with him? That's my question. Because he's very demotivated. I don't know why he's not motivated at all to impress you or to take you out. So if you're already sleeping with him, that's the problem. If you're not, then you also enter the relationship without clearly defining what you want. I told ladies, it's important you define. Don't just enter something you don't know what it is, undefined. Don't enter. Be friends till you want something special. Let that thing be defined. Let it be clear. Set your clear terms and conditions. Like, I believe in this, I believe in this. If I feel this is not happening, I will back down. And if he is taking for granted, back down. Ladies are too pressured to think, I must pretend everything is fine. I mean, you're not married like this, and the man continues what you are doing, and you get angry. What happens most times that the guy is hoping the woman will not change. The woman is hoping the man will change. This is what this is the negotiation going on in their mind. And they marry. The man wants to continue doing what he's doing, not calling you, not taking care of you, and you now start grumbling because now you're married. So don't pretend. If you know this is not working for you, let him know that you're going to back down if it doesn't change. And if you're sleeping with him, stop sleeping with him. It demotivates me, just like the story we read today. Demotivates them. Yeah.
Good evening, sir. I'm in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for about 8 years. We were friends and then later we dated. That's why it's been 8 years. And now I don't know what is happening to us. He just stopped calling me. I'll call and he won't pick my calls or reply my messages. What do I do, sir? And again, I have someone that wants to date me. I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
Have you stopped? Have you stopped? Have you stopped your advice? Have you stopped? You can't be in a relationship for 8 years. That's too long. Don't apply things I'm sharing. Don't waste your own time. Don't waste your own time. And like you said, somebody else is coming now. You see, don't always have that posture of I must be in something. A lot of relationships some people are in is what's delaying them from the real thing that wants to come, because you're managing something. Like the video, this is not what video I posted on my Instagram today, if you have not watched it. You know, be so happy with where you are that you know you will not be able to accept rubbish. A lot of you are accepting rubbish because you're never happy with being alone. You think you must be in something, so anything is better than nothing for you. So forget this guy, please, like not serious, and get some counseling and consider this next guy coming. But this time, please define things. Don't enter on defined relationships. Okay, very important.
Thank you, sir. I'm of the opinion that it has to be mutual, but my mom said a man's love has to be more.
Yeah.
When you cohabit, you get to love him.
I don't agree anyone has to be more. Now, sometimes it plays out that one person is more passionate, it happens, but it's, I don't think it's a principle that when you're looking for to marry, let the personality not be more, let down anymore. You know, you guys can be mutual, so it can be mutual. In some cases, it's never, you know, you can't even measure it. So some people generally are more emotional, some are more passionate, some are more committed. It does happen, but I don't know whether we can set up as a principle that we can measure more. If you're satisfied with how this guy likes you and you two like him, then please move on. Yeah.
Okay, this is quite interesting. There's this saying that is prevalent among guys. Marry who loves you, not who you love. This is to keep the guy on the safer side in the event of a breakup or issues in the relationship. What would you advise them?
But if you marry because you love each other, you can't always be calculating marry who you love, who doesn't love. Usually, you know, when the person loves you, you know the person. It's not a breakup, right? Breakups are really, I'm starting from breakup. So marry the person you like, and let the person still like you. It must be mutual. In relationship or marriage, it's mutuality that makes it work. One person can carry the load of the relationship. All right, so forget what this means. Like I said, you get good books and good trade teachings on relationships so that you understand it for yourself. Yes.
Sir, a lady is in a relationship with a man who hasn't started his divorce process, and he has asked the lady if she will marry him if he gets divorced.
Mm.
So he's holding on to the fact that if the lady agrees to marry him, he will go on with the divorce process.
There are a lot of complications. I usually say, as a rule, once you're in a peculiar situation, please get counsel because I need more details. However, I'm bothered that he wants to divorce because of you. I'm bothered about that. I'm also bothered why he wants to divorce at all. Sometimes, whatever made him leave that woman is also waiting for you to. And don't be the one that is breaking somebody's home. Like they say, my actually wants to start a teaching series, a concept on proverbs, that she will explain proverbs. You know, so one of her popular proverbs is that the king that they used to flog the first wife, that is still in the house, waiting for the second wife. So when you when you think you're the savior of the world like that, you want to enter that session, you can be entering danger. So I'm bothered about the whole scenario. Get counsel. All right, it might be genuine, but I don't know. Details I have here are not enough for me to give you good advice. Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm in a long distance relationship. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend is in Benin and I am in Lagos.
Yeah.
He says he wants to get married, but even my job, I'm relocated to Benin for this. What do I do?
Yeah, depends on you. You guys should have a discussion. Does he have a bigger job in Benin or you have that job in Lagos? You know, everything's negotiation. So negotiate. Can you start looking for a job in Benin? Can you relocate to Benin? You know, does he want to consider coming to Lagos? It's all negotiation. So there's no right or wrong to it. There's no right or wrong to it. If I'm living in Lagos and my wife is doing something bigger in Abuja, I will go now. Or in Benin, I will go. You know, it's both of you. So although some men feel mature about those things, I want to be one working by all means. So it won't come. Depends on the work. So negotiate, really, it's up to you. Nothing is right or wrong. So I'm negotiating.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I want to ask if it's possible and wise to remain friends with someone you've been in a situation with for a long while, sex was involved.
No, don't be friends. Because on that proverb my wife has, is that old for old. I've given all her proverbs that she wants to use for her show. Please don't miss it. Once the thing starts running, and you don't follow her on YouTube yet, I mean, subscribe to her YouTube channels and all that. Is it just those girls or? Okay, Major Kumpo, you see it on YouTube. Major Kumpo, she will start teaching on those things soon. It's really up to you. You know? So, but don't keep that kind of relationship. It can be emotionally hindering you because you're still emotionally entangled. Yeah, it's better to free yourself, feel free, and you'll be refreshed emotionally so that you can attract new prospects as opposed to being this same revolving thing. can take five more questions before we close. Let's rush it. I'm doing sharp.
Okay.
Please don't forget, if you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, go subscribe. If you've not gotten our books, audios, ebooks, get them. If you're interested in partnership, please sign up for the partnership. We need partners to push this ministry forward. Let's go.
Is it easy to change a pattern you started with in a marriage? Like kneeling down to apologize to your husband and you feel you've outgrown it, but the thing is sweeting the man.
Who am I? I'm not the man, I'm not you now. You guys, I will know. I really can't interfere with that kind of thing. So it's up to you guys. If you sound like you're enjoying yourself. You sound like you're enjoying it. So continue now. Continue in the voice of Mama. So it's up to you guys, really. I can't decide that for you.
Thank you, sir. I have been dating this lady for 7 years now. Both parents have met each other, but I found out she's still cheating on me. I'm sorry.
Mm.
I really want to marry her, but those things that the cheating always cross my mind. What should I do?
My brother, you're a strong person. After you know she's cheating, you still asking what to do. What to enter a very serious situation. You're clearly seeing she's cheating. Why do you think she'll change in marriage? You know, there's already something faulty going on. I don't know why you think you want us to come to me. Think about it very well. If you think this is what you want to do, but you have to be careful. Not that tomorrow when she continues cheating, you'll be angry. Right? She has already shown her character. She can change. I'm not saying she can change, but I'm bothered that you are so, you know, you don't see it as a problem. That's what I'm bothered about. So if she shows something it's not balanced somewhere, you know, I think you should consider your standard before you go ahead. Tell me more.
Good evening, sir. My husband is a full-time pastor.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do in a situation where he feels showing his true feelings to me is carnal? He only gets romantic when he wants to make love to me. Sometimes I feel that the only thing I'm good for. So I suppose I feel that's the only thing I'm good for.
Mm-hmm.
When he's studying, he takes a whole day and we hardly talk to each other because he doesn't want to be disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do, sir? Because I really love my husband.
Mm-hmm. He's assistant Jesus. He's spiritual man of God. He has to follow real men of God. He has to have mentors like me, other men of God that are real. You know, some people confuse too. They think spirituality means you won't be real. Jesus was not like that at all. A lot of people are finding spirituality today. It's not how Jesus was. Jesus was attending weddings, was producing wine in weddings, and things like that. You know, I put on my page this week about how that I listen to love songs. I sing love songs to my wife. You know, there's people that still think as a Christian you don't sing love songs. You should only sing gospel songs. I don't know how whether they are watching Christian YouTube or Christian Instagram. They are watching gospel Instagram. It's the same. So I don't know. As one of them, even they are following very vulgar comedians, but they are saying I shouldn't sing love songs. So for people that have a weird idea of spirituality, so you need to pray for him. Then you need to see if you can introduce him to mentors that are real pastors. That because loving your wife is part of is being spiritual. You know, the Bible makes it clear itself that. You know, when you get married, you have to care about the things of the world, how you please your spouse. It's there. That you don't care about the things of the world. That for when you're single, you should only care about the things of God, how you please God. But when you are married, you care about the things of the world, things of this life. You know, so he needs to understand what true spirituality is. He's just being a bit over spiritual. So he needs good mentors, pray for him, you know, and once in a while, share my videos. Go to my A to Z. There's a video I have, A to Z of marriage. Send it to him in all his platforms and in his Bible study. Let him see it. Yeah, see other pastors loving their wife.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, sir. Me and my friend's ex are in love. After a year, she had broken up with my friend. Can we go on with our relationship?
Wow. You see, the truth is that you can even marry your brother's wife. To be honest with you, you can marry your brother's husband or sister's husband. You can. If they divorce, you might. You can do anything you want to do. The issue is that we're able to deal with the drama, the consequences. At the end of the day, will it be worth it? That's what I'm trying to say. Will it be worth it? So, will this friend feel betrayed? Will this friend be okay with it? Will you still be friends with this friend? How close are you with this friend now? You know, the whole thing will just look messy if you ask me. You guys probably still have some mutual friends with this friend. Don't let this friend to be your friend after you date his ex and you get a friend. I just think it's a mess. If you ask me, I know love can be shocking you now, but love is not like that. Love, we choose who we love. not the one controlling us, we control it. So I'm not a big fan of the drama. But if you think you can swing it, you know, who am I to tell you you can't? If you think you can, there'll be drama. You might not know what it is at the end of the day. Yeah, but I don't know the food is it, so yeah. So that is us. Okay, how many? No, because I said I give you 5. How many are I?
Why haven't I found them?
Okay, so have you attended my webinars? I said no, there's nothing. Keep growing, keep developing, prepare yourself to come. Yeah? Next one.
Is this right? Woman, not the man you married, not marry the man you love. They always say this to us.
Not the man you married, no. They are both right. It's better for you to love someone before you marry them. But if you have already married someone now, you still need to love them. So it depends. So if that's interpretation, then that's okay. Alright? Whether or not you love the person, if you are married, you must love this. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So it's like, take a job you love. But if you already have a job now, you need to love that job you have. Do you understand? Because love is important. So at the end of the day, you must still be committed to what we are doing. Okay? So if that's what you mean, it's correct.
Is age really a barrier in relationships? I'm a guy dating a lady 8 years older than I am, and I just broke up with her because I am, what I assume you meant to say here, I am not ready and she has to start her life. But we really do love each other. Was that right, sir?
Yes, if you know you're not ready, then let her marry. You are right in that sense. The age is not a problem, if both of you can wait for each other. But if she's at the age where she really needs somebody more serious and more ready, then it's the honorable thing to do to allow her to go marry someone. Now, while she's out there, if you get ready and she's available, you can go there. You know, this is not by force. People just stress themselves. If you see available when you're ready, you can see Maria. But you need to be ready quick. Be ready on time. Because she's of age. She can't keep up with it. It's not fair. Yeah.
Second to the last one.
Yeah.
I have been in a situation for 4 years with a girl. Is it possible to reset and make things work? That is, try to be friends with her.
For you, then it's relationship. As you don't want to marry her, you want to marry her now. That's the issue. If you're trying to backtrack and you don't want to marry her, then you don't need to know this drama. Just backtrack and fail. You know, not to have a friendship again. But if you want to marry her, then why are you going backward? Go forward to relationship leading to marriage and marry. So it depends on what you want. Yeah. Next. Last two. Let's do this.
Is it okay being friends with your ex husband?
Ex husband. Well. Yeah, I think so. His ex husband, there's no, I don't think I can get worse than marrying him. So it's okay. It's okay. I think so. So if you have kids together,
My partner's parents are not living together. Mm-hmm. It's a problem for my parents, and they are trying to convince me to leave him. He's a great guy, though, but then marriage is about two families, not necessarily individuals. What do I do?
No, that's not a problem. His friends are not together, that doesn't mean anything. And we love people like that everywhere in the world. What he's used to watch out for is his own character. Right? He's the person you're married in this case. So you can't judge him by what his parents have done or not done. So go ahead and marry him. But get counseling because his upbringing might have a part to play in his way he is today. So we need to make sure he's not bringing that baggage. Because if he has been affected by the parents' divorce or separation, it will be easier for him to choose that option when things get hotter in your marriage, okay? That's what's wrong. But it doesn't make him a bad person. Okay. Go ahead.
Is it right to ask a married man for money without any form of sexual intercourse?
Very wrong. That's where all the problems lie. That's very wrong. Alright? If you need money from anybody that is married, if that's a girl, you can ask the wife. It is trespassing and crossing the line when you're asking the husband. You know, somebody's plan for money. You're already laying the foundation, you know, for flirtation and other things like that. So I don't support it. I don't advise it. All right. I just think it can be, it can set each other, you guys up. You know, I don't know why single girls feel very comfortable. So I think it's disrespectful to the wife. All right, talk to the wife if you want to. It's kind of disrespectful. You know, next thing you start laughing. You demand it. You say, hey, John, get to the point. And it's only the cost that doesn't have cost that will catch you. One that the person costing you has cost to cost you to catch you. Let's be careful of those things. Okay. The last one.
Hi, Pastor.
Yeah.
Is it advisable to be in a relationship with a man that still relies on his parents for financial support?
You say he's a man. That's the first problem. You say a young boy. He's still a boy now. What makes your man's marriage to separate from father and mother? That's for sure a man with his father and his mother. That's what Rabbi says. So he has to be able to stand on his own feet. Or at least have plans of standing on his own feet. Is he doing anything at all? Is he trying to do anything at all? Not that he's for 100% dependent on them, things like that. Then you need to hook him up. If he's doing something and not just doing it great, that means he has potential. So hook him up with other male mentors. Let them challenge him to step up. If he can't step up, then don't continue, because usually great people are, you know, patterns don't lie. Patterns don't lie. Everybody has potential, patterns don't lie. So if you continue like this, if you continue like this, and it will affect your family eventually. So don't be eager to just start anything. I don't know what you want to do. I do. I think I'm going to do it.
A lady has been married for 8 years and her husband has only contributed like 10% of providing for the family,
yeah.
Paying fees and all.
Yeah.
He hits his wife and never communicates with his wife.
Yeah.
She has decided to leave him, but everyone keeps telling her marriage is for better or for worse.
Mm.
What should she do?
The details are too small for me to really comment. How did she get into that situation in the first place? And what's really going on? Why does he hit him? Hit her? You know, so I just don't want to give a comment on this small details I have. So let her get counsel, real, from not just my sister telling me. And that's what I've been. My cousin said, like, get the counsel from a guy that is knowledgeable and experienced, and, you know, and make a right decision. So there are a lot of factors. Do you have kids? How old are both of you? How long have you been married? There are many things I will need to ask you to know what I would suggest the best line of action for you. So it depends on what is going on. Depends on would you rather live alone, or would you rather just manage this guy? So it depends on the person. So that's what I have to say. All right. The beating, yeah. Why is he beating you? Like I said, I mentioned that I need to ask why he's beating you. The reason I'm saying that is that some people actually, you know, are just provocative by themselves. So I need to know why the beating is going on. There are some cases, just the guy is saying, but when you hear the story now, you hear that, the man wanted to leave his house, and the man hit his chest and hit his head on the wall. This part I never mentioned. So if you greet a guy good morning and slap you, that one is bipolar, is mental. Leave the house immediately. But if it's that, he says, I want to watch TV, you are dragging the motor to him, and you already see his muscles, his biceps, his veins coming out, and you are dragging the motor and use the motor and hit his head. If you advise that, leave the remote, yeah? Watch your laptop, watch your iPad. Mm. Do you understand? So if you hear that beating, it's in those early days when we hear beating, yeah, we just shout now. We ask questions. How did they beat you? How did people beat yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. If a guy that beat you for no reason, you greet him, good morning, sir. Wow, he slapped, he used to reply you. That's a mental case. You should be here asking this question. It's a mental situation. You should have run away, you know. Did you enjoy it? I enjoyed myself. I want to pray for you guys. Folks, don't forget, materials are available. Please get these things, they'll help you. We have books, audio books, 7 questions wise men asked, 7 qualities wise men want. If a man read that one, so the qualities to look out for in a woman. 25 wrong business points and relationships. Who should I marry? And these are 10 things to choose who you marry. When am I ready? You know, people ask me that, how do I know I'm ready for a relationship? Manual, how men think, all year round for men and women. 8 to 10 of marriage, that's our best-selling book. And loads of materials, audios, online courses for men, online courses for women, short courses of, you know, 1 to 3 hours courses. But it will bless you, it will help you prepare and be a better man or woman. You know, loads of things like that. If you're abroad, you can use Amazon to order the books. If you want to order from Nigeria. But we can order from our website, lovebusinessandmarriage.org. All our stuff are there, all right? Look out for the next webinars coming up next month, and we'll let you know. Follow my YouTube, subscribe to my YouTube channel if you have not subscribed. Please share videos, let people be blessed. We need partners. We believe partnering with us is something God is leading you to do. Please join us. We would love to have you on board. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I pray for every viewer today. I pray that anybody stuck in this relationship, receive the wisdom and the courage to come out of it. and so that you can connect them to the right relationship that you have for them. I pray for healing for anyone that is hurt emotionally. I pray that God will heal your heart. You will not walk about with offense. You will not walk about with the spirit of unforgiveness and vengeance. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every man and woman trusting you for who to marry. I pray that in this season, there will be divine connection. God will bypass your emotions and show you your husband, show you your wife. In the name of Jesus, there will be divine acceleration. There will be divine connection. In the name of Jesus, your steps will be ordered of God. I pray for anyone that needs any kind of miracle. That is never relational, maybe financial miracle, job miracle. I pray of healing. I release the healing power of God. I release the miracles of God over your life. There will be breakthroughs in your finances, breakthroughs in your businesses in the name of Jesus. You'll walk in wisdom. You'll walk in clarity. For those who are seeking divine direction, God will speak to your heart. You will know exactly what to do. You know whether to go ahead with the relationship you are in or to come out of it in the name of Jesus. I pray for anybody that needs healing. I speak healing to your heart, both physically and emotionally. I release the healing power of Jesus in the name of Jesus. I pray that you have the marriage of your dreams in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, guys. I hope this was worth it for you. But we didn't see where people were logging in from. Please, can you tell us where you were logged in from? If you are watching quickly, right? Let me just greet all of you. Let me know where you are logged in from. Tell me what cities you are watching from. As you mentioned it, I'll be mentioning it. So, guys, tell me what cities you are logged in from.
Manchester.
That's my city. My club is Manchester City. Dubai, I see you.
London.
Ohio.
Newcastle.
That's good. Newcastle.
Houston, Texas.
Houston, that's my city. That's my city. Houston,
Kenya.
Texas. Kenya, I see you.
Dublin.
Kenya, are you Nairobi or Mombasa? Dublin, I see you.
Ghana.
Ghana, Chale, that's my place.
Zambia.
Zambia, half price and followers in Zambia.
Cameroon.
Cameroon, I see you.
Leeds,
Apple.
UK.
Apple. Leeds, UK. Yeah.
Ireland. Ghana.
Ghana again, yeah.
Worry.
Ireland, Zimbabwe. I see.
Illinois. FCT Abuja.
Yeah, that's my city.
Ukraine.
FCT Abuja. Ukraine. Florida, I see you. How's the protest going on this area? Sokoto, how are you doing?
Ibadan.
IB, yeah.
South Africa.
SA, South Africa. Cyprus.
Minnesota.
Ghana,
Germany.
Ghana, Germany.
Ukraine.
Vancouver, that's my city. Chicago,
Washington
D.C.,
Liberia,
Owerri, yeah,
Canada,
Nottingham, where in Canada now, tell us the city, Nottingham,
Nairobi,
hey, Freetown, Sierra Leone, yeah,
Hamilton,
where Hamilton, that's Canada, yeah,
Northern Cyprus,
Calgary,
Italy,
Belgium,
Malaysia,
Abeokuta, yeah, Kevin State, yeah.
France.
Kaduna.
Montreal, Canada.
Ukraine again.
Nairobi.
Thank you guys for logging in all over the country and all over the world. We'll do this more. Please don't look out for the one on mentoring. All young people will do better with mentoring, both men and females. So even though it's part of our mandate program for men, but we want women to log in for that too, because you need mentoring and it's a major part of life. If I check my life, the thing that helped me the most, having the right mentors was very instrumental to me getting to where I've gotten to. So I want to share everything with you about mentoring, what mentoring is for, how to pick a mentor, how to relate with your mentor, and everything you need to know about mentoring. It will help you, trust me. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be first week in July, I believe. We'll give you details. So look out for it. Subscribe if you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, and follow me on Instagram if you're not following me on Facebook. Your Facebook person. Also follow me page on Facebook. All right, God bless you. Thank you, guys. It was fun having this. We still like 2 hours, 3 hours, 2 points. 2 hours, okay. Was good. Enjoying myself. Thank you, guys. Thank you. All right, signing out.